This is the OU Daf Yomi podcast of Nechemya Perek Yud, delivered by Ellie Fisher. Okay, we left off with the first part of this large, it was called the Amanah, the pact that was made at this time, the time of Ezra and Nechemya, where there was a long vidui, a confession, a tziduk hadin, a justification of all of everything that the Jews had undergone throughout their history, and that God was justified. And we pointed out that there was no reference to avodah zarah. I was reminded since yesterday that there's a gemara. It appears twice, once in Yuma Daf Samach Tes, and again in the in Sanhedrin. There's a story about it. The Gemara brings a story about how the Anshei Knesset HaGedola davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take away the taiva for Avodah Zarah, the will to be Oved Avodah Zarah, the desire to be Oved Avodah Zarah. And sure enough, the pasuk that it quotes is the beginning of that perek. Vayitzaku El Hashem Elokim B'kol Gadol. Right, it begins that, you know, the first pasuk of that vidui. And it says that what they were davening for was that they shouldn't have any more Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, which kind of throws that entire vidui into a certain relief. You know, but it doesn't mention Avodah Zarah at all, so it seems already that even at the beginning, that Avodah Zarah was a non-issue. That's how Chazal read it. It was there, it was an issue, but it was an issue underneath the surface, and they were actually trying to get rid of that as an issue. So that vidui concludes, uvechol zot, nevertheless, anachnu kartim amana, right, we are making a covenant, a pact, bekotvim, and write, velachatum sarenu vienu kohanenu. Right, signed on it is our princes, the Levim, and the Kohanim. Right, so this is not the first written amanah. There are several other covenants that are made between God and the Jewish people. This is the first one, really. That's there are several unique aspects of this amanah, of this pact. It's very much at the initiative of the Jews themselves. Right, that they're stepping up and being Mekabel. Remember, this is also the Tekufa about which it said, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, Kimu masha kiblu kvar, of the acceptance of a re-acceptance of the Torah, the beginning of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the era that we're talking about here, and that's the context in which we you know, some of these things can be read. So that was a list of the people that were signed on. Valachatumim, those that signed, Nechemiah Tirshata ben Chachaliah v'Tzidkiah. So Nechemiah, the governor, son of Chachaliah and Tzidkiah, Sariah, Azariah, Yirmiah, Pashchor, Amariah, Milkiah, Chatu, Shevnaya, Maluch, Charim, Meremot, Ovadia, Daniel, Gineton, Baruch, Meshulam, Aviah, Miman, Maaziah, Vilgai, Shemaya, Ela Kohanim. So those were the Kohanim. Valavim, now the Levim. Yeshua ben Azaniah, Yeshua ben Azaniah, Binoi mipnei Chenadad Kadmiel. So amongst the Chenadad, Binoi of the sons of Chenadad and Kadmiel, Beachehem, their brothers, Shevnaya, Hodia, Kalita, Pilaya, Hanan, Micha, Rechov, Hashavya, Zakor, Sherevya, Shavnaya, Hodia, Vani, Beninu. Okay, that's the Levim. Roshei Ha'am, the leaders of the people. Parosh, Pachat, Moav. Parosh, the governor of Moav. Elam, Zatu, Bani, Buni, Azgad, Bevai, Adonia, Bigvai, Adin, Ater, Chizkiah, Azur, Hodia, Husham, Beitzai, Charif, Anatot, Nevai, Magpiash, Meshulam, Chezir, Meshezav, El, Tzadok, Yadua, Pilatia, Hanan, Ania, Hoshea, Hananya, Hashuv, Halochesh, Pilcha, Shovek, Ruchum, Hashavna, Maasiah, Vachia, Hanan, Anan, Maluch, Charim, Bana. Hey, that's your list. It's a list. There are 84 people in this list that signed. There's actually one of the Targumim into Aramaic called the Peshitta, the Pshitza, has an 85th name, and coincidentally, or not coincidentally, the Yerushalmi says that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola had 85 members, right? So it's possible that, according to the Yerushalmi, this is the Knesset HaGedola. That this list of people that we just read, these are the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, because these are the people that participated in the Knesset HaGedola. What's the Knesset HaGedola? The Great Assembly? That's this. What we're reading about, what we're learning about, is the Knesset HaGedola. It's not the only possibility of what the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were, but it is one of the opinions out there that this is the Knesset HaGedola. When it talks about what the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were attacking, it's talking about this assembly. Ushara amakonim alavim hashorim amashorim anetinim v'chol anivdal me'amei aratzot al Torah ta'alohim v'shehem b'neim uvnotehem kol yodei amevin. Right, and there were also the rest of the people, the Kohanim, the Levim, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Netinim, anybody that had separated from the people of the land to the Torah of Hashem, and their wives, and their sons, and their daughters, and anyone that had knowledge and understanding. Okay? Marzikim alachehem adirehem. Uvaim ba'ala uvishvua lalechet b'torat ha'elohim asher nitna b'yad Moshe eved Elohim l'shmor v'la'ato l'asot et kol mitzvot Hashem Adonenu u'mishpatav v'chukav. And they clung to their brothers and their nobles, and they entered into a curse and into an oath to follow in the Torah of God that was given by Moshe, the servant of God, and to observe and to do all of the mitzvos of Hashem, our God, u'mishpatav v'chukav, right, and his statutes and his ordinances and statutes. Right, so this is a general, this is what they've got to do. Okay? And now it gets into the specifics. Now it doesn't go through the whole Torah, but what it does mention several mitzvos that were very important, crucial to life in that generation. And in each example that it gives, there's something that's slightly different about the way that mitzvah is recorded in the Torah. Meaning the way that it's discussed here goes a little bit beyond the way that it's discussed in the Torah. The significance of that is, of course, that what you have here is the beginning of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh. You have these takanot, these, I'm not going to say changes, but expansions, right, of the Torah to include elements that hadn't been there before. We'll go example by example. Lamed Aleph. Asher lo nitan binotenu la'amei ha'aretz vet binotam lo nikach levanenu. We're not going to give our daughters to the people of the land, and we're not going to take their daughters for our sons. Okay. So as we saw before, the difference between this and what's written in the Torah is the Torah forbids entry to seven nations. Right, there are seven nations that were not included, right, that it's usher to marry into. What's going on here is that's being expanded to all of the Amei Ha'aretz, the other nations that are there, that they're taking an oath that they're not gonna marry into these other tribes. For the same, perhaps for the same or similar reasons that the Torah forbade marrying into the seven nations, but the fact is the nations that were prevalent then were not the ones that were listed in the Torah. Ve'ameh ha'aretz, and the nation, the people of the land. Mivin, this is Lamed Bet. Et makachot v'chol shever b'yom ha'shabbat, who bring wares or grain, victuals on Shabbat, umkor, to sell. Lo nikach mehem b'shabbat, we cannot buy from them on Shabbat, v'yom kodesh, or on a holy day. V'nitosh et ha'shana shvi'it, umasha kol yad. Right, and that we would forgo the seventh year, and the taking of any debt. So two things here. You have Shabbos, that you can't do business, you can't engage in commerce on Shabbos. Now, obviously, that's not written in the Torah anywhere. That's not even midoraita. Midoraita, 39 melachot. Commerce is not one of them, right? They're engaging in business on Shabbos, buying and selling, is something which is derabanan. Chazal also talk about the gzeras kalim being instituted in the time of Nehemiah, that any tool, any kind of utensil, wouldn't be permitted to be used on Shabbos, with, you know, the Gemara lists three exceptions, and ultimately that gezerah was repealed until, you know, to the point where only a kli shemalach to le'isser was forbidden to carry on Shabbos, something that's used to do an isser, and then only under certain circumstances, meaning if you need it for a mutter reason, or if you you need to clear out space, then it's fine, but that original gezeras kalim happened at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. The idea behind both of those, they both point in a similar direction. I would suggest taking a look at the Rambam, and I don't have the source in front of me in the Rambam right now, but the Rambam talks about why there's a category of muktzah, or why there are certain things that can't be carried on Shabbos. And the Rambam goes into the idea that there are people that under normal circumstances don't do malacha. And the truth of the matter is that applies to it applies to many of us today. Most of the malachos, right? We don't do all that much planting or weaving or etc. Right? That the malachot are for the most part related to agriculture and subsistence economy. And when we the fact that we deal with mostly in much more abstract type of work, right? A lot of what we do on a regular basis isn't included in the 39 melachot. So the idea here is that there are certain Yisurei Shabbos that come in to fill that void. That meaning the point is that Shabbos should remain distinct. That Shabbos shouldn't be like the rest of the week. And if there is somebody for whom Shabbos would otherwise be like the rest of the week, so there has to be new Isurim, right, that make Shabbos different from the rest of the week. The Rambam says this at the end of... at the end of Parak Chav Dalid of Hilchot Shabbat, Halachot Yud Bet and Yud Gimel. Ayin Sham. Ve'ein Kan Makom Laha'arich. We're not going to get into it here. So that's Shabbos. Right? Shemitah, the entire institution of Shemitah in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah was Durabanan. Right? The halacha is that Shemitah is only Deoraita when the majority of the Jewish people live in Eretz Israel. That was not the case at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So the fact that they reaffirmed the observance of Shemitah is itself a chiddush, because it's basically saying they're extending the biblical requirement for Shemitah to a time where when it wouldn't necessarily apply. It's also significant because the first galut, right, the Churban Bayit Rishon, the 70 years of Churban Bayit Rishon, was connected, or the, you know, if you look at the Tochacha and Bechukotai, right, that galut is connected to Shemitah, that the land, right, the galut is you know, Az Tirtzeh Haaretz Et Shabtoteh, that the land, if Shemitah is not observed, then the land will, as it were, take its Shemitah by force and spit the Jews into exile. So it's very poignant that, you know, when they return from exile, they affirm their observance of Shemitah. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. V'he'emadnu aleinu mitzvot latet aleinu shlishita shekel bashana la'avodat beit Elokeinu. Right, we have made an ordinance for on ourselves to give a shlishit ha-shekel, one-third of a shekel every year, la'avodat beit Elokeinu, for the service of the Beit HaMikdash, l'lechem ha-ma'arechet, l'amidalet, l'lechem ha-ma'arechet, for the lechem apanim, for the bread, u'minchat ha-tamid, for the tamid, the minchat tamid, the flower offering of the tamid, ulolata tamid, and for the ola offering of tamid, meaning twice a day, shavatot, and the korbanot for each Shabbat, the chodashim la moadim, right, the korbanot musaf, on each Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and on the holidays, la kodashim la chataot, and for the you know, for all of those sanctified offerings, l'chataot, and the korbanot chatat, l'chaper al Yisrael, that atone for Israel, chom olechet beit Elokeinu, and all of the work, all of the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. Right, so there are a few chidushim here. Number one, obviously, we're familiar with the machatzit ha-shekel from the Torah. Right, so the question is, what's the relationship between this shlishit ha-shekel, one-third of a shekel, with the machatzit ha-shekel? Right, so according to the Ramban, it's in addition. Right, so that every year there would be a poll tax, instead of half of a shekel, it would be one half plus one third, which is 5/6 of a shekel. So it's inflation. According to others, this shlishita shekel was the equivalent of the machatzita shekel, that there was a different shekel, so this one third of a shekel is equivalent to the biblical half a shekel. In which case the chiddush would be that it specifies what it's for, that it specifies that everybody contributes to these korbanot. You know, the Torah doesn't specify what the machatzit ha-shekel would go for, right? And there was actually a matter of dispute during Bayit Sheni about where the money was supposed to be raised from. There was a machloket between the Prushim and the Tzdukim, where the money for the korbanot tzibur could be raised from. Could private donations fund it? Lamed hay. V'hagoralot yipalnu al korban ha'etzim. We cast lots for the bringing of wood. Hakohanim alavim v'ha'am, the kohanim alavim, and the people havi lebeit elokeinu lebeit avoteinu le'itim mezumanim, to bring it at set times to the Beit HaMikdash, shana b'shana, each year. Levayir al mizbeach Hashem, so that it will be burned on the mizbeach of Hashem, on the altar of God, of Hashem our God, kakatuv v'Torah, as it says in the Torah. Now, as it says in the Torah, is eish tukad al mizbeach tamid, that there's a mitzvah that the fire of the mizbeach always be going. Right, now this is the first time that they really had to set up some kind of schedule, some kind of routine to make sure that that's all brought, because one of the things that happened during this galut was that Yerushalayim became desolate. Yerushalayim became barren. So, whereas it may have been heavily wooded in the time of the Bayit Rishon, you know, by the time they got back, Yerushalayim was much more barren, and there was a much more coordinated effort that was necessary in order to get the wood to the mizbeach. And the next one, Lamed Vav, Lahaviyad Bikureyad Matenu Vikurey Kol Pri Kol Eitz Shana B'Shana Levet Hashem, right, to bring the first fruits of our land, the first fruits of all manner of all types of tree every year to the house of Hashem. Lamed Zayin Ved Bechorod Bonenu V'Hemtenu, and the firstborn of our sons and our animals, Kakatuv B'Torah, as it says in the Torah, Ved Bikurei Bikareinu Utzoneinu, and the firstborn of our cows and our sheep, La'avi Beit Elokeinu, to bring them to the house of Hashem, to the Beit HaMikdash, to the priests that serve in the house of Hashem. And Reshit Arisotenu, that's Chala, right? The first of our dough, Utrumotenu, and our Truma, Ufrikal Eitz Tirosh V'Yitzar, and the fruit of every tree, of the wine and oil, Navila Kohanim El Lishkot Beit Elokeinu, will bring to the Kohanim in the chambers of the Beit Hamikdash, Uma Asarad Matenu LeLevim, and the Miser of the of our lands to the Levim, Veim LeLevim Hamahashim B'chol Arei Avodatenu. Right, those are the Levim that take the Miser in all of the cities of our that we're working, right, that we're cultivating. And the Kohen, the son of Aaron, is going to be with the Levim in the Miser of the Levim. The Levim Yalu at Maaser Maaser, Levet Elokeinu, and the Levim would bring the Miser of the Miser, that's the Trumat Maaser, to the house of Hashem, to the Beit HaMikdash, Al HaLishachot, to the chambers, to the offices, Levet HaOtzar, to the treasury. Because they would bring Bnei Israel and Bnei Levi would bring the truma of the grain and of the wine and of the oil to the Beit HaMikdash, where the vessels of the Mikdash were. Right? That's where the Kohanim that served were, and the gatekeepers and the singers, that's where they were, and they did not abandon the Beit HaMikdash. Right? So the Chiddush with all these Matnot Kehuna, right, a couple of things. Number one is that it had to now be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. There was no halacha that the Truma had to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. Truma could be given to the Kohen wherever he was. Right? Here, in order to reinforce the centrality of the Beit HaMikdash, and the fact that they didn't want the Kohanim running around looking for Truma, they said that the Truma and the Miser, the Truma and the Bikurim, etc., everything, well, Bikurim always had to bring be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. Bechorot didn't have to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash, right? The other things didn't have to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash, right? Now it had to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. Another chiddush is, it seems, that it's saying that Bikurim is Bikurei Kolpri, right? That it's not just the Shivat HaMinim, it's not just the seven special species of Eretz Yisrael, it's any type of tree. There's a requirement to give Bikurim, right? And there's actually a machloket in the Mishnah whether or not one does have to bring Bikurim from those other species. And then the third thing is something that we alluded to before, that the Kohanim now could partake in Miser, right? That this was a penalty against the Levim that Ezra instituted because he had a hard time. He couldn't find any Levim to come back with him. So he said, you know what? Kohanim can get Miser too. That is the that concludes this perek on the affirmation, the amana, that this is what the Israelites in that generation agreed to undertake, and through it we really see the beginning of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the expansion, the extension of Torah Shebichtav to include new elements and new applications. We'll continue with the last three prakim, which is the second round of Nehemiah, certain of Nehemiah's enactments. That's the last three prakim, and we'll begin that tomorrow.